step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey everyone, welcome back to week 9 of the Are You The One wrap up podcast for season 7. I'm Allie Lasher, and here with me is my co-host Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's going on?
Nothing much. I feel like after we have a guest, it's like the week after vacation, you go back to school, and it's kind of just like very relaxed now.
Yeah, no, this was your first...
Yeah.
Show with a guest, right?
Yeah, it was a lot different, but it was just more like high intensity, especially I feel like Ethan was the type of guest that's like gonna give it his all, and he's gonna like really contribute. So I feel like it was
as
definitely
opposed
different.
To me.
No, as opposed to like a boring guest. Like if we would have had like someone from like season 4 that like never said anything. Like the guy Tyler from season 4, do you remember him?
Do I remember Tyler from season 4? Isn't that who we were talking about? T-Boogie last week?
Maybe. Are you thinking of the black guy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He was like really boring, right? Like he didn't really contribute much.
No. On my interview with Tyler.
Yeah. I never listened to it, but was he exciting?
Tyler and I had a really interesting conversation.
Wow.
Because that was when, just to plug an old interview, that was like really when Are You The One was doing diverse casting, but for reason, the couples were still just like two white people. And Tyler talked a lot about a need to cast people who are like actually, I'm not saying it as good as he did, but basically, there's a problem. Diversity casting, quote unquote, is not enough because they're not actually like minority cast members or cast members of color are not actually getting enough screen time because they're not actually involved in couples.
Wow.
So I think things have really moved forward since that interview, but it was a really interesting interview.
Okay.
And Brian, behind the scenes fact, no one cares about this, was like so sick that he missed the interview. So it was like the first interview I was like taking the lead on.
Oh, wow.
And he was the only one who was able to do the recording at the time. So he was on the line, but just like sick as hell and completely silent. Like, I don't even know if Tyler knew he was there.
I picked like the worst interview there had to be a boring interview that you've done, by the way. Like there had to be, right? Like there, and I know you would probably don't want to say it, but I feel like they all can't be exciting.
I don't care. I can say it if there was one. There's not one that I'm thinking of.
Oh, that's good.
Brian used to do a lot of interviews on his own before the podcast even was a thing. So I'm sure he feels that way. I will say that what was great about the Ethan interview, for anyone who hasn't listened yet, besides the fact that the sound quality was horrific, what was great about it was he doesn't seem to give a shit if he's on the show or involved with MTV ever again. So he gave a lot of really cool behind the scenes stuff that other people would not be willing to say who want to be on the challenge or who want like a future in TV.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we have to have Alexis on now after that whole phone call debacle. I think if we don't have her on, it'd be a travesty because I think she'll produce results just like E-Money did.
Yeah, well, if Alexis wants to come on, she's more than welcome to come on if you could get a hold of her, although it seems difficult to get a hold of her these days.
I was one for one so far, so let's see if I could work my email magic.
In the meantime, it's just us to talk about this episode. This is episode 11, if you could believe it.
Wow.
And I think there are only 3 more episodes left of the season.
Is it bad that I get excited when it's the end of the season? Like, I'm like, oh, good. Like, now I don't have to remember to watch Are You The One because they piss me off sometimes. Like, do you feel that way at all?
I don't feel pissed off by people of Are You The One, but I think when you're podcasting a show, this people also don't care about. It's anytime I've talked to Matt LaGorre about this too, with his blogging, like anytime something you love and used to do just for fun becomes an obligation, it's like hard to find the same joy in it that you did. Like, I still love doing the show and I love podcasting in a different way than I loved when I was just watching the show. But it's like, I'm ready for the season to be over. I'm ready to take a break from like the appointment viewing obligation.
Again, no, that makes sense. And it's not like it's crazy hard work. It's just like, okay, like, I watched it for 14 episodes or whatever. I had to take notes and do all that. Like, it's not crazy work, but it's just like at the same time, it's like, okay, like now I can relax in that sense.
But it is funny because, like, I also like, just even when I wasn't podcasting, I like the end of a show because you want to see the resolution with Ari. The one, like, we want to know who the couples are. We really haven't made much progress this season, so no. I think it's going to be a lot of surprises.
No, I agree with you, and I actually really like this episode. Like, I feel like we've been kind of like down on this season as a whole, but like I thought this episode produced.
Yeah, I like this episode too. It's funny, I go back and forth because I'm very impressionable with this season. Like, when I talk to Molly Block, who doesn't like the season, I hate the season. When I talk to Johnny Langan, who I'm going to be mentioning later in the episode, then I agree with him and I love it. Like, it's just, if somebody tells me they love it, I'm like, oh yeah, totally. Like, I think there are a lot of things to love and there are reasonable things to be complaining about.
I agree with that.
But yeah, this episode was the big payoff, right? The strategic payoff, the strategic cliffhanger we were left with last week that Ethan didn't want to talk about. So we have a lot to talk about with that, where Callie plans to confirm if Callie and Tomas are a match and if Cam and Kayla are a match or not. I think the cliffhanger ended up like revealing that at least we were going to find out if they were or not. Because it would be weird to cliffhang on a three beam.
Yeah.
But what do you think of that risk? Like, did you think that the haters of this plan appreciated that if you get three beams, you find nothing? Or they were just like, you're not giving me enough attention?
I don't know. It was weird. Like, even after they revealed the results, like, it feels like, I looking back at it, I think it was a solid choice to make. Because now they narrowed it. Like, we're going into the results. Like, we could say what happened, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it turns out that Callie and Tomas and Cam and Kayla, they're both not matches. So with that being said, doesn't that do a lot for the house? Because they still got four beams. Then they can narrow it down a little further. It seems like Tevin and Kenny are definitely a match. And then it also allows Cam and Kayla, who are attached at the hip, and Callie and Tomas, who are seemingly attached at the hip, to kind of explore their other options. But then we still had Quasi in the confessional, like, kind of complain. Like, so I was kind of confused that they didn't take those results in stride.
Yeah, I really do think that that was complete BS, the people who are complaining about it. Like, I loved this. I think was the most likable Tevin and Kenya have been when they go into the truth booth. They go into film a confessional and they were previously against the plan. And they're like, all right, we got to give it up. It worked. Good for them.
It was. Yeah, I don't understand. I feel like you have to respect game, like, especially when people or by E-Money's, what he said, was saying that the producers were like, follow your heart. So, like, I feel like Callie was gaming here, and she was putting her relationship on the line. Obviously, as we see at the party, it didn't affect her too much. But I do think that, like, you got to respect that they were putting everything on the line to see if these paired up couples were actually a thing or not.
Yeah, we know that they don't have paper and pen to, like, really run the numbers here.
Yeah.
So if you can make a matchup ceremony work for you in a way that you definitely confirm two matches or definitely confirm that two matches are not a match, you do more work than if everybody just matched up with everybody. And what's funny is, like, the people who are against this plan, like Quasi, like, who's he matching up with? Like, Asia? Like, okay, so you're going to get a lot more information by sitting with Asia again?
Yeah, I was kind of confused by that. And maybe, like, of course, we don't know the editing, but it seemed like this was a pretty specific, like they're pretty specifically angry at this situation. So I was confused by that because I feel like it really did help the house.
No, it definitely helped the house. I just think every season we're going to get people who, like, can appreciate, like, the larger strategy of it. I mean, it's so ridiculous when people are saying, like, oh, it helped half the house. But, like, even Asia, who I would take to be, like, somebody who'd be thinking a little bit strategically just from other things she said this season. The fact that she's the one saying it helped half the house and didn't do anything for half the house. You're all playing the same game. If people find information out, you win too.
Exactly. The information is the what you need in this game. That's the most valuable thing.
Yeah. So that was a pretty, frustrating storyline, but let's get the eulogies on these quote unquote power couples. Cam and Kayla, we see Cam devastated. We see Kayla devastated. How are you feeling about this confirmed no match?
I don't know. I feel like Kayla, when she got into the confessional, was like crying. And then I feel like she's going to have a way more difficult time with this than Cam is. And like, we see that later in the episode. It seems like Cam's kind of like, okay, cool. Like, and I'm sure he's upset a little bit and he's only opened up to her. But just based on that one first confessional that it showed her like hysterically crying and he was just not as physically upset, I think he's going to be fine and she's going to have a more difficult time. I don't know. Maybe I'm just have a negative opinion of him with everything he said. And I'm trying to like distance myself from his viewpoints. But I feel like at the same time, he kind of just comes off as like a smug prick sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with this. Like, I agree that Kayla's always, at least in the edit we've seen, blah, 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 it's a TV show, we don't see things, whatever. In the show we're watching,
yes,
Cam is clearly less into Kayla, and Kayla's more into Cam. And so when we see, like, Cam's moment of crying, and you're incredible, and it's just this gross, like, make-out crying from Cam, like... You oscillated 2 weeks ago, like you thought you were in a match. You told us when he's like, why isn't Kayla my match? You told us it's because she gets motion sickness.
Exactly.
And you're, you know, like we didn't forget that this just happened. You were trying to have a connect. He's like, I can't imagine having a connection with anyone else. You wanted to have a connection with Callie, but she rejected you. So you went back to Kayla again. I'm sure it's edited, but I'm not buying what we're seeing on TV in that sense. Like, I don't buy that Cam's really that upset by this.
No, especially with the motion. You're right. It's really smart of you to mention the motion sickness thing. Like, they had, I can't believe they didn't keep that in mind. Like, they should have expected this at this point. Like, okay, like, find someone who doesn't get motion sickness, Cam, and maybe everything will work out.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm being a hater here. I'm sure they're both upset, but I don't care. I don't like Cam.
Yeah, that's our duty as podcasters. We're allowed to give our rightful opinion.
But I did genuinely feel bad for Kayla. Like, when she's in that booth just crying her eyes out and you can't even understand a word she's saying. My heart went out to her there.
Yeah, that was not fun to watch.
Granted, it's like 2 a.m. after they do a matchup ceremony and they're probably hammered, but like I feel bad for her.
For sure.
All right, so let's talk about the other couple, Tomas and Callie.
It is very clear from the get, as soon as this happens, that Callie's going to be fine and Tomas is going to be hung up on it. And like, we see that progress throughout the episode, but she's kind of like, it didn't work out with Brett. I moved on. And then I was making out with Tomas later that night. So she's definitely just like, okay, like we're not a match. It's going to suck. We got to find other people. We got to do what we have to do. And that's it. So and you could tell he's not all about that as quickly as she is.
Were you surprised that that was Callie's reaction to this news?
Yeah, but I think also I'm surprised just based on like stereotypes. Like, she's like the nice bubbly girl. Like, you don't expect her to just be like, all right, I'm getting out there, moving on. Like, I think that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you look at her, you based on just wrongful stereotypes, I didn't think she was going to be that type of person. And that's on me for being ignorant. That's probably why I like labeled her that way. And I, as soon as she did it, I was kind of like, you know what? Good for her. Like, she understands it's a show. She understands it's a game. Obviously her connection with Tomas isn't that too deep, or I think this would have affected her a little bit more, but I was surprised, but I'm also pleasantly surprised that I think she's moving this way.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised in the sense that I thought that they really had strong feelings for each other. Mm. And it kind of seems like based on Callie's reaction, I'm not shading her for it, but like, if she was truly in love with this guy, I don't think she'd like let the game really matter that much. Like, she'd maybe take more of a Kayla approach, which is like, I'm going to get to know other people. At least she's saying that, and play the game, but I want to be with him. She's just like, well, Tomas, you're not my match. Goodbye. And I was fully standing this reaction, and the way you've called yourself out for a stereotype, I'm going to have to call myself out. I was like, yes, Callie, go ahead, girl. Like, she's immediately just telling Tomas, like, Danny could be my match, Zach could be my match. If the reverse was the case, if Cam was doing this to Kayla, I'm sure I would be saying, he's an asshole, he played her, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm full hypocrite for standing Callie's behavior. But we live in a world where I'm watching show after show, season after season, where the guy is always the one who does this. And I was like happy to see Callie doing this, saying like, oh, did you think you were special when I did this to Brett? Nope, I'm doing it to you. Like, I loved it. Maybe she's an asshole, but I loved it.
Hey, we're allowed to call things out as we see them. So like if season after season guys get away with it, I think it's rightfully so that once in a while a girl gets away with it too.
Yeah, don't at me. And then Zach and Morgan have maybe like one of the worst, like we're exclusive conversations. Like this is sort of like Morgan is I even forgot that the Zach and Bria makeout came out at the last matchup. And Morgan once again has to go to Zach and like fake establish some sort of like monogamy between them that doesn't exist. I know we see later in the episode that he's not holding it, but were you believing this conversation between Zach and Morgan?
Everything Zach says seems like he's not, like he's half asleep and not there. Like I cannot, like every conversation he has, he's like, yeah, no, I'm into you and only you. I won't kiss anyone else, I promise. Like he said this so many times to like, I'm sure he did it to Bree. I don't even remember at this point. He's definitely done it to Morgan more than once. It's like at this point, like, you're just falling for the same BS over and over and over. Like it's no, like obviously he's clearly not being honest. Even if in the moment he thinks he's being honest, he's not being honest. And I feel like at this point she needs to recognize that and say, okay, I'm better than this guy who keeps lying to me, but she clearly just keeps going back to him.
Yeah, no. And it came up in our Ethan interview. Like Zach's clearly here to just like get screen time, get free alcohol and get ladies.
Exactly. And it doesn't even matter that the show, he's going on, moving on to Floribama Shore apparently. So there's like, he's just going everywhere.
All right, let's talk about this meeting of the bros. This is kind of like an Ethan-y moment, segueing from Ethan. We have Mo, Lewis, Danny, and Kwasi, the real alpha males of the house, getting inspired from Lewis to mingle like we single.
Yeah. You know, like I get what Mo, I think this was a nice scene for Mo because I think we understand that he's not an alpha. He's not aggressive because of and I don't want to like misconstrue this in any way, but he said living in an Arabic household and growing up within that specific culture, guys are supposed to kind of, I guess, take a little bit of a backseat what did he say? Like they're supposed to house clean. They're supposed to kind of like take care of the house and do things like that. And I feel like he was kind of explaining that's why he's not so in your face. I'm going to go talk to this girl and do this and do that. That's just not the type of person who he is. Not because that's like he's afraid of that. It's just because who he kind of was growing up. So I kind of understood his perspective a little more. But at the same time, like he did know the show he was going on. Like the show is all about guys being douches and going up to girls and everyone having fun. Like I feel like that mindset would have to change when you go into the house. So like, I get where he's coming from, but at the same time, it's like, he didn't know what he was signing up for.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't take it as so much of a gendered thing as much as like, one of my roommates this semester is from Jordan. And we actually had a similar conversation recently, not inspired by Are the One. So it was interesting to see it play out on screen. There's just this culture of being hospitable, that it's like a hospitality thing. I don't know that it's like man, woman, or just that it's everyone is just like you take care of the people who are in your home and you have this culture of hospitality. And it just like doesn't jive with like what Lewis is saying is necessary. I don't know where Lewis and Kwasi really stand to be giving advice to Mo, but yeah, I mean, he definitely knew the show he was going on, but I also don't think it's like women are clamoring to be with Mo and Mo's rejecting them. Like, I feel for Mo in the same way that I said last week, like, or 2 weeks ago or whenever it was, that Mo did try on the date with Kayla. Like, and yeah. Mo has tried with Asia. Like, like Ethan said last week, if people just aren't into you, you just can't force it. And so I don't like that Lewis and Kwasi, again, I don't see the women really clamoring for them, are saying like, Mo, you have to be going at it and hitting on these women aggressively who haven't shown any interest in you. These are strong women. We've seen Bria and Nutza and Morgan and Jasmine and Kenya like go after the men that they want to be with. I don't think it's just on the men to like pursue women. Like Mo hasn't unlocked all of these women who are into him. Like I think Mo's doing Mo and he's making connections where he can, and they're just not really there.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, a good point, too, that in, I feel like the, there's this weird expectation, especially, like, as guys are in, like, their early to mid-20s, to, like, go out and, quote-unquote, get girls, you know? And I think it's the dumbest thing, like, seeing guys at a bar just, like, kind of, like, scout and, like, look around, like, who gotta go off to? Who gotta do this? I think that's the most awkward, uncomfortable thing. Like, I've always said this, like, I'm not going to meet my wife at a bar. It just, I feel like, and I feel like that also applies to Are You the One? Like, some guys just don't want to go up and spit game or however they, and that's just not their thing. So I do get that. And at the same time, if you do that too aggressively when someone's not interested, like, and Ethan made a really good point, like, that's so creepy. Like, if he kept, like, and in this episode we see him go up to Kayla in a really, like, nice way, but, like, if he kept going up to her and up to her and up to her and, like, was, like, kind of, like, flirting with her, trying to dance with her, and she was not into it, everyone would be calling him a creep right now. So I don't know, I think it's just kind of Lewis and Quasi, and I don't even know who the final one was, whoever the other guy was. I think it's Danny. Just them, Danny, them trying to be like, dude, you have to do this. And I don't even think it's about the game. I think it's more about, like, kind of like an ego thing. Like, dude, why aren't you acting like this?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, look, we did hear from the beginning from the women that, like, Mo just doesn't even talk to anyone. So, like, that can definitely be called out. Like, he should be, like, building at least friendships. And maybe they're at a point in the season where Mo just was, like, so silent in the beginning and just, like, you know, seen cleaning but not heard, that, like, the women just viewed him a certain way and he, like, kind of lost any chance with any women who were attracted to him. But, like, you know, Lewis and Quasi, go get your matches and then come back and talk to me. Danny, okay, maybe he's got room to stand and give some advice because of his relationship with Samantha, but Lewis and Quasi, they're single.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, I don't know, that's why it's kind of weird that they're giving the advice, but hey, it's already the one, everything's weird.
Speaking of Danny and his relationship, what did you think of Sam's scavenger hunt?
It was interesting, for sure. So to lay the groundwork for anyone who didn't watch, so what she did was she put all, like, I guess, props that would lead to a, like, whipped cream makeout session with fruit, like, all around, like, different spots in the house that were important to them. So, like, he went from room to room to room. And the only part that was weird to me was she had him do, like, 20 push-ups and 20 sit-ups. Like, what was that, like, unlocking something? Like, what was the point of that? Because it just caused him to get shirtless and, like, flex.
It seemed like she was unlocking his stench. She wanted him sweaty and stanky.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. That sounds awful. That's, like, my worst nightmare. Yeah. Like, go stay in a room with Danny while after he sweats for 20 minutes. Like, that'd be disgusting. Anyway, so it ends up with him finding her in, like, lingerie on a bed with, like, all these, like, rose petals and, like, ready to feed him some fruit, I guess.
Yeah, that was insane to have done on television. Like, right? It's, like, funny that, like, people have sex on TV all the time and it just, like, doesn't faze you, but, like, just something about, like, her laying in that, like, crazy lingerie with, like, the thigh-high tights and then, like, the whipped cream moments. I was just like, wow, I cannot believe you're doing this on television. Lights on, too. They don't even, like, challenge the night cameras. They're just like, well, nope, this is fine.
Isn't she, her profession, like, wasn't the whole thing that she, like, works a few jobs, but wasn't she going, like, law school or something? Or am I not correct with that?
No, I don't think she was going to law school that I know of. Okay, because I mean, she, like, is a businesswoman.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Isn't that, like, not to, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the guys walk around shirtless all the time. But, like, I feel like lingerie is, like, a very intimate, like, personal thing. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think many people would wear that openly, let alone on a show with millions and millions of people, or not millions, hundreds of thousands of people watching. Can't, like, that. I feel like that just a very, like, intimate, like, look and should be reserved for, like, I don't know, people you care about. So, like, I give her credit for being that ballsy and, like, just throwing that out there on national TV. Like, everyone's gonna see that picture could be screenshot and sent to any employer. So, like, I don't know, it seemed pretty ballsy to me.
Yeah, I think two things about that. One is she was probably wearing more clothes in that moment than everybody was at the party later. True. But I think once you're on Are You the One, like, you forgo certain levels of professionalism.
Yeah, you're kind of right. And I think that once you, like, you're right, when you sign up for Are You the One, like, you're kind of, like, you're foregoing any shot that a future employer is going to look at your resume in the future and nothing will come up when they search your name.
But aside from the lingerie moment, I really liked this moment from Sam and Danny. Like, just to the extent that Sam came in, this, like, bad bitch who, like, you know, got her heart broken and is now, like, cold as ice and just her 9-to-5 job. I liked that this is, like, she's doing something for Danny, like, to show that she cares. Like, I thought it was a cute moment with tons of foreshadowing that Callie was going to F this up.
And okay, did you also notice when Callie first went up to Danny to, like, introduce the whole idea, he, like, grabbed her hand in a really awkward way? Did you notice that? Because I felt like I cringed out super hard from that.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like a flirty moment between them, but at first I didn't think anything of it besides, like, oh, they're close, she's close with Sam and Callie. What triggered me was how many times they referred to her as her best friend. Like, yeah. Oh, I might have to get some help from her best friend. Oh, my best friend Callie's going to help him. Oh, Callie, I need my best friend. I was just like, okay, if you're calling someone your best friend 5 times in 5 minutes, she's about to screw you.
I think that Sam, like, more along, like, what we see in the next half of the episode, I think she became one of my favorite characters. Like, first of all, this scavenger hunt was bizarre. But, like, just seeing where this leads to, I'm like, she really, like, rose up in the power rankings for me.
Yeah, I ate crow on Sam and said I was a fan. I have some problems with what happened later, but we'll get to it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not condoning the reason.
No, not even condoning it.
It.
Not okay. Even condoning we'll it or not condoning it. Just like you know. She, you know, whatever. Sam's got to do her. I think she's good casting for sure.
I'm excited to hear your opinion on the Callie Sam fight of 2018.
Well, we got to cover the fate button first before we get to that. Were you surprised that we went back to pure fate and not having the men pick the women, women pick the men?
I thought it was really, like, awesome of, like, Terrence to kind of just really reel it in, bring him back to, like, what it's all about and, like, trusting fate and, like, the connections. And, like, I just was really appreciative that we got to see fate take the wheel here, because there's something about true love with, like, especially with Kenya and Tevin, and, like, the fact that fate chose them to go on this date together was, like, just, I was just super, like, happy to witness it.
I have nothing else to add to that sarcastic assessment.
It was not sarcastic at all. I love fate. I'm a very big fan of the fate button. It's real, 100% real. And I think Terrence is God.
I mean, the fact that they went to a commercial on whether or not Kenya was going to get picked by this stupid button is, like, so ridiculous. And I even love that, like, ooh, they go to Kwasi, like, when Kenya is side by side with herself in the wheel, and they're like, ooh, two Kenyas. Like, it just shows, like, there's you think TV would leave it to chance that Kenya gets picked as the only woman to go on the date?
She has to go on a three. It's a 2-on-1 day, like The Bachelor. And she has to send either Kwasi or Tevin home. That'd have been hysterical.
That would be fine with me.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I actually did see another Kwasi up there. I did see him at the gym again. I think he's noticing my eye contact at this point. At the same time, there was a kid with a Trump Pence shirt in front of me working out. And my only thought was, wow, I wonder if this is what, like, Kwasi had to deal with in the house when Cam was around. Like, that was where my mind went. So, yeah, that's a Kwasi gym update of 2018.
I am so sick of you mentioning that you see him, and how could you not go up to him and say, like, oh, I haven't already the one podcast, like,
because
we've not
described him in a positive light. This is,
but who
this
cares?
Is,
he's a character on a TV show. No, he knows we don't care.
I could say, okay, if this was Survivor or Big Brother, I feel like the people are a little more, like, they're a little more mature on certain shows. I feel like Are You the One will take it very personally. It's also not a coincidence that the only two people that live near me, we've been relatively harsh on. I think we're even might be a little harsher on Kwasi than Kareem.
No, you have to take first of all, you should say everything you're saying as though you're fine with the cast hearing it. And you should assume that anyone who goes on TV, and Are You the One people I have found more than anyone else, are usually fine about being shit talked because they're just so happy to be talked about because they're, like, new on the scene. So, like, they understand that, like, being talked about at all is, like, a good thing for them on reality television, bad or good.
I've had mostly
positive experiences with people, even if I've talked shit about them, because we recognize that this is a television show and this is not their full, you know, they're like paper dolls. They're 2D. We don't know their 3-dimensional, fully fleshed out personalities.
No, that makes sense. And I feel like if I was on TV, that's how I'd look at it. But who knows? So back to the fate button, right?
Dip your toe in Kwasi's water.
Maybe. I don't know. That seems a little adventurous.
All right. No, so the fate button happens, and I think you summarize it perfectly. But we also find out, probably more interestingly than the date, is that Terrence is throwing a party.
That's so, like, he's really just stepping it up this whole episode, right? Like, Terrence not only brings back the fate button by choice, he single-handedly throws a party. Can you imagine the shot before the party was, like, going on, like, Terrence, like, going through and setting up the decorations and, like, putting out the drinks? Like, 'cause he's throwing it, so he had to be doing those things.
Well, what aisle in Party City did Terrence shop at? Because I cannot for the life of me understand what the theme of this party was. Like, jungle nymph? Fairy glitter?
Yeah, like Adam and Eve, like sex town. Like, that's what I got.
With animals.
Yeah, with the random animals in there, because Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve type thing, you know?
Okay, okay. One thing for Callie, before she becomes a hot mess, which, look, I've been on the Hot Mess Express, nothing but love to Callie. How does she even make, like, a hairline of glitter look good? Did you notice that she had, like, the glitter, like, perfectly accentuating, like, God, I can't even think of the word because I'm so bad with makeup. What's it? Contouring. Ooh, like, nice. With pink glitter. I was just like, who did that? She looks incredible.
Yeah, no, she looked great. And was Lauren have too much glitter on? Like, it seemed like she was a little, like, too adventurous with the glitter. I feel like when they showed them side by side in the confessional, like, Lauren's face looked a little too glittered out for comfort.
Look, I stan Michelle Visage and drag queen, so I can't really say anything. There's never too much glitter, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
Did you like Daniel's look with his little King of the Jungle tiny tail?
No, I thought it was so stupid. I don't know. Like, I feel like whenever these guys wear, like, these, like, ridiculous, like, short shorts or I get they're showing off their shirts, but I feel like when they wear these shorts, they're doing it for, like, to show off their other regions, and I'm just like, oh my god, like, that's so tacky. I wasn't a huge fan. I up until this whole thing happened with Daniel, I didn't mind him too much. I do think he still comes across as a bit of a douchebag, and but yeah, I was not a huge fan of this look.
Ooh, I love Daniel this episode. I love the look. I like that we disagree also.
Nice, nice.
So a couple couples emerge. First, Lewis and the Aerialist.
Oh, see, this is why Lewis is so funny, though, for the show, right? Like, I was hoping when they kept showing her that someone was going to, like, say some stupid shit, and I should have expected it to be Lewis. I just feel like he really does just offer this such a comedic, like, kind of sense of relaxation when everyone else is freaking out about falling in love and all this. I feel like these moments are what makes the show great, and this is why I do miss the challenges, because I feel like I've got more of these moments in these challenges. But I don't know, I really like that Lewis was kind of just, like, messing with the Aerialist. That's the right way to pronounce it.
I think so, but
sounds good.
No, you're right, he's got comedy and he's got lectures. That's yeah, Lewis.
Exactly. That's what else could you want, a man?
I could do without the lectures. yeah, but that's just me.
Okay.
Let's talk about Cookies and Milk, Quasi, and Jasmine. This was a new sort of flirtmance springing up.
Yeah, they were bumping and grinding pretty hard. I it's so funny. Like, I see this whole thing going down, and you're kind of like, okay, where do the Cookies and Milk come into play? Like, is it a play on, like skin tone? Is that what he was going for? Or is it just kind of like, is there a reason for Cookies and Milk? Like, I was just kind of trying to put that together.
I think he was just like, we go together, like peanut butter and jelly, cookies and milk. I don't know if I'd read much more into it, but I like the deep thought from Adam.
You know, that's what I do on this, on the Are You the One? You're never going to get a more deep viewing of the show we're watching than you do on the RHAP podcast.
I also love how she sits on his lap and she's like, I'm not insecure. Like, she may not be insecure, but she is for sure drunk. Like, I'm not insecure. Like, I know who I am.
What an opening.
But I think they're a good match because she wants to be a trophy and Quasi objectifies women. So I think it's a perfect match.
Yeah, I think that's the last we're going to see of them all season. And it's going to be, okay, they're a match. That's it.
Which, I'm being an asshole, but what I really mean is, like, look, Jasmine does want to be treated like in an old school way of, like, I'm a trophy, like, I am a prize, and you want to show me off, and I'll be, like, in this. Like, there's nothing, what I mean is, if it's two consensual people, there's nothing wrong with, like, wanting and getting what you want. So if Quasi comes from this old school, like, I'm the man, I want this BBC, like, bad bossy, classy woman to like lift up and put on a pedestal who is like my prize. And you have a woman who wants to be treated like that. Perfect match.
That's what BBC means? What? I was so confused when he said that. I'm really glad you clarified. Like, I did not think it meant that.
It's only because later when they're talking about who to vote in, Sam and Newts are talking about it, about Morgan. And they're like, yeah, she's like, he says he wants bad, bossy, classy. And Sam goes, BBC.
Oh, wow. A good pickup. I didn't notice that at all.
I think he might have said it a few weeks ago, too. But that's the only reason I remember.
That makes sense.
And then, yeah, well, let's talk about Callie. She's in her zone. Don't let Callie get in her zone. That's what I learned from this episode.
No, it doesn't. It's bizarre because more than one guy is just like so like into it. They, I think it might have been like Zach. I know Danny said it. Like they were like, I just see her dancing and they're like, I can't handle it. Like they're like just caught up in her, like, I guess twerking or whatever you want to call it. And I was that as soon as that happened, I'm like, wow, like that. You could tell like there's something like that's going to happen, obviously, because they're all talking about her. And then it shows her dancing with a lot of different people, right? She was dancing with Cam. She was obviously dancing with Zach. She was dancing with Danny. Do you think that, because they don't really show Tomas too much. They show that one moment where he's kind of looking around with Morgan. But do you think that Tomas is really like doing the same thing with other girls? We didn't see that if he was.
No, I think this is going to go to one of two ways for Tomas. It's either going to be the reaction of like, I'm really hurt. This breaks my heart. I'm devastated. Or it's going to be like, oh, she's not my match. Like, this is not how I'd want someone to act. If like she really liked me, she wouldn't be acting like this. And he'll just like move on. Or I guess the third speed is like full mo. We never hear from him again. But I'd like to break down her. Like, let's separate out Callie and Zach with Callie and Danny, because we're going to have to talk about that. But okay. Callie and Zach, Callie was fully hammered this whole episode, which is totally fine. But I feel like that has to have like a quick umbrella over the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still not drunk enough to say yes to Zach. Like, I respected that Callie was still like, while probably attracted to Zach, was still like, no, we should not make out, shirks him. And then Morgan coming in hot, confronting Zach. How does Zach get out of this? Do you think he can get out of this?
No. But did you, felt like it was a scene out of The Office. Like, he was literally like, why don't you want to make out with me? I'm what you need. Like, in the most boring tone. And then out of nowhere, like, they planned it, Morgan's face pops into the screen. And then Callie said something along the lines of like, yeah, like he's like, she had criticized Zach for being like an idiot, but it just felt like it was like a scene out of the movie. And I kept going like back and forth between like the people that literally both of them are like have been with and have been committed to, 4 feet away from them, listening to their whole conversation. Like, this is one of my favorite little scenes we've ever had on Are You the One?
Yeah, it was a bad look for just everyone.
Really?
Zach keeps using these like tired Are You the One lines of like, you're not what I asked for, but you're what I needed. It's like, you literally just told us that she's exactly what you asked for, that you wanted like this classy woman during the day and this freak at night.
Yeah.
So it's just like this, he keeps saying the same lines to everyone. I loved Morgan going in here. I loved Morgan, but I loved Nutza so much more when she just like is grinding with Brett and is like, love yourself, bitch. No one else is going to do that for you. Like, if you love yourself, and then she like moves positions dancing. She's like, look, shimmying. If you love yourself, people will love you, girl. And like, doesn't even come off the dance floor.
She was like some weird little fairy. That. Like, it was the most bizarre thing. Like, she came out of nowhere, but was like, this seemed like it was set up. Like, I know it wasn't, but it seemed like it was scripted because she was right there. Like in the way she said it, like, felt like it was just like this in a sing-songy way. Like, we were watching like a scripted episode of Are You the One? That's how good this little moment was.
It was iconic Nutza. I love Nutza. I stan Nutza. Also, quick aside, Nutza's father recently passed away. So all the love from our podcast to Nutza as she goes through that. Brett posted something really sweet. So now she's getting support from her Are You the One cast. And she has a freaking another iconic moment in this episode. All fully standing Nutza. I want to see her on the challenge. I don't know that that's going to happen.
The only thing that would hold her back, I would think, is her size because she's so tiny. But I feel like for like one, two episodes of like a firecracker, I could see them bring her on. Especially, I'm not going to give anything away. But for the future, I feel like it would make sense.
All right. I look forward to hearing about that. Yeah, and I do love that, like, Morgan accepts it from Nutza, but when Callie, like you're saying, is like, you know he's a dick, right? And, like, tries to say something, Morgan's like, no, no, you made it worse. Be quiet. Like, she's like, Zach, you suck, and also Callie, you suck. I'm just like, no, no.
And I like that, because I feel like a lot of times Morgan would be like, oh, or the girl in Are You the One, it's been, it has history showed us, they get mad at the other girl. It's nice that she's kind of like, no, you both suck. Like, Zach, you're an ass, and Callie, you didn't help at all.
I don't buy it, though. Like, I do think that Zach will be able to rectify the situation with Morgan.
I don't get how he does it, though. Like, he's so, and I'm sure in real life he's more charismatic. Obviously, if all these girls are throwing themselves at him, like, he's got to be something more than we're seeing on TV. He just seems so bland and so boring. Like, and I don't know, if, like I said, if it's just the edit, but I don't see the, like, oh my God, I get why all these girls are going after Zach. Like, I have not seen that, like, since the first episode.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I also think at this point, like, whoever Zach's match is totally screwed. And that, like, I thought about that because, like, Morgan's saying this, even if she does not want to pick him anymore, like, his actions have no bearing on whether or not they're a match. So, like, she could still be his match and have to pick him at the matchup. And that kind of, I think being in this constrained environment where, you know, like, he could still be your match makes you want, I mean, I hope I wouldn't be like this, but it makes you want to think that he could change if you just get a confirmed match and, like, oh, I kind of have to give him a chance because it hasn't been ruled out. I feel like she's probably already working overdrive to fix the situation with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like anyone with Zach for the next 4 years until he's, like, 26, 27, I think will be a difficult ride for that poor girl.
For sure. Speaking of poor girl, or poor Mo, I guess, let's talk about Mo and Kayla and Mo's attempt here to let Kayla know his feelings.
It was a bit awkward.
It was
a bit awkward. I think that it felt like too, but he's like, the thing I like the most about her is she feels like a friend. I was like, Mo, that's not exactly a friend zoning yourself is not the proper route to go here. But it just felt like they're two buddies, like sitting at the back of a school bus and, like, the girl's venting about her boyfriend. Like, that's the vibe I got from this. Like, it was not, there was nothing that I think was gonna, this is gonna lead to, especially, I don't know, he's just not that aggressive type of guy, and not that she would probably always want that, like, but it just didn't look like this was gonna go anywhere.
Yeah, I he was pretty aggressive. Like, he's like, I'm feeling you, come sit with me, come sit on my lap, whatever. But, like, I think she has this out of, like, oh, it's too soon with Cam. I think if she was into Mo at all, it wouldn't be too soon. Not that I'm saying Kayla would immediately jump ship, but, like, she would at least be giving anything back to him. Like, this was so awkward and sad. This was like when somebody tells you they like you and you have to just be like, I just got out of a relationship. But, like, I'll let you know in, like, 3 years if I change my mind. Like, it was so awkward.
I guess it's not a bad excuse. Like, to be honest, like, obviously we could read between the lines here, but I it's not an awful excuse. Like, at the same time, it's Are You the One? Like, the whole, it's a quick experience. Like, the whole the point of the show is to make connections. So clearly she's not into him. I don't know if we're going to see Mo make any connections with anyone substantially as the show progresses. But you know what? At least he tried.
He did try. Good for Mo. Sad for us. But all right, Daniel and Callie. Daniel gets lost in the sauce, and he also admits that he gets aroused, as you were saying. So let's pick this fight apart. So I'm not shaming Callie. Callie should and can do whatever she wants. I do agree with Samantha that, like, it was, you're saying, like, all these guys were so into her dancing. Like, she was dancing in a way that was literally they were having sex with their clothes on. Like, there's just no other way to say that. Like, it was almost, I felt like I was like a peeping Tom while I was watching. I, like, didn't want to watch them. But I'm not saying that, like, means Callie's right or wrong or Samantha's right or wrong. But, like, I understand why Samantha got so upset.
No, and like you said, you're allowed to do what you want. Like, you're allowed to dance however you want, whatever. But at the same time, like, I feel like there's a certain way to dance that's going to catch the attention of these drunk, horny young men. And she knew she knew what she was doing, and she knew what was going to get Daniel lost in the sauce.
I really don't think Callie was, like, trying to, like, seduce the men. I really think of them dancing is, like, what pissed Samantha off. Like, like, I did think I was very uncomfortable, and Danny and Zach were both, like, sandwiching her and just screaming, like, I love this side of Callie.
That was so, that was like, okay, that's like, I don't know. It just felt like when two guys, it's like they're excited about like awkwardly grinding on the same girl. Like, in what world is that fun for anyone? You know, like that just seems like the most like awkward and uncomfortable thing. Like, it's such like a homoerotic bro thing. Like, yeah, I was just looking into my bro's eyes as we were both grinding on the same girl. Like, I just don't see how in any world that'd be fun.
Yeah, no, that's hilarious, actually. I agree with you. But in terms of the fight between Samantha and Callie, look, everybody was hammered. Callie wakes up the next morning. Callie seems more than fine with what happened. I looked at Callie's tweets. I looked at Samantha's tweets. I looked at Danny's tweets. Like, I tried to see if there was anything. Like, it looks like she's all happy and all good with what happened, so that's fine. What I wish would have happened, if Samantha and Callie were really like best friends and you see your friend like so effing drunk that they're just like, ooh, wildin', like to the point of not being able to make a decision, which who knows if Callie was there because Callie did decide not to hook up with Zach. But if you're that mad, like pull her aside and be like, let's go to bed. And like, we've seen that in the past, like try to be like, hey girl, like party's over. Let's go try to like chill out somewhere else. You're dancing on my van. I know you don't mean to be doing that, whatever. And then if Callie's like, no, I do mean to be doing that, fine. Then you can pop off. But I kind of think Callie was just like dancing without abandon. Like it didn't seem like she had like, oh, I'm dancing with Danny to get with him, or I'm dancing with Zach now to get with him, or I'm dancing. Like she was just dancing with everyone. So if you really have a concern, like, don't go full Jerry Springer, which is what it became. Like, just like be like, oh, you're beyond the point of cognition right now and you should just go to bed.
Do you think that, okay, so when so she confronts her, right? And like starts like, she goes out to her like full speed, like not holding back. Like she starts cursing her out, going off on her. And she starts saying like things that are like really like quippy and funny, like, oh, I know where you live, bitch, like, right, or whatever. I know where you sleep.
Oh, so quippy and hilarious.
Like, but you know what I mean? Though, like it felt to me like that was like, not that it was calculated, but it felt like she was like very angry. But I also side of me thought that she was like putting on a little bit. And I don't know why I got that vibe, but for some reason that's when I'm watching it, it felt like it was a little like, I'm doing this to kind of like freak out and like get my moment here. That's what how I felt, to be honest.
See, that's interesting. I that could be possible. I didn't get that vibe. I felt like she's probably done this before, like in the way that on the challenge we see Amanda constantly go to like, you're a loser, you have no friends. Like, I feel like, I know where you live, bitch, I could kill you, I but whatever, is like Samantha's to MO. She also quoted Kevin Hart, apparently. Like, one of her like insults to Callie was like a ripoff of Kevin Hart.
She wrote these before the show. She was ready to pop off maybe on someone. And then, so I don't know. It was insane. I loved watching Samantha freak out. Was it justified? No. But was it entertaining to watch for that 35 seconds? Yes.
And I would be furious if I were Samantha and I saw Danny and Callie. Like, I would be mad. I would not kill someone.
No,
but I would definitely be upset. Like, I thought that was over the line on his part. You know, like, I think it's over the line on her part as her best friend, but I also think it's over the line on his part, and I think she's justified in being mad at both of them. I don't think she should kill them.
No, I don't think we can murdering anyone. But you're right. It's like we always talk about how Ari the One, it's not, look, they're not dating, they're not official, anyone can do whatever. So in that sense, it's not wrong. The way it's wrong is because I feel like Danny and Samantha have had these conversations when it comes to her loyalty issues in the past and like how this would make her feel. And then Callie, like, at the same, like, I get it, she could do whatever she wants. But this is your best friend in the house. They said it over and over. Everyone thinks you guys are best friends. Like, lay off the one guy that she's with, even if he's being kind of a scumbag and trying to come on to you. I just think it would have been so much cleaner if they both just didn't do that. So I think she's justified to be mad. Her freak out was a little bit over the top, but it gave us good TV. So, you know what? I'll take it.
And I think that's exactly right. Like, Daniel even later, like, does say that she's right. Like, not in how she acted, but, like, that he understands because it's, like, something they've talked about and he, like, crossed that line. And I think the thing that Samantha's freakout did is it, like, justified Callie's behavior to Callie. So, like, Callie, I think, is a woman who's not going, just like Samantha, they probably get along because they're similar. Like, if you call her out in an aggressive way, her instinct is going to be to defend herself and come back at you aggressive and like not apologize and not see your side. So the fact that Samantha came so hard, so aggressive and so mean to Callie allows Callie to be like, I don't care. Okay, look at how you're behaving. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. I just danced.
Yeah, no, it's it gives her an out, right? Like, it gives her, like, kind of like, okay, well, she acted ridiculously. And then I get they didn't hook up, but I wonder if it would have went there had there not been a freak out. I'm sure it wouldn't have, but you never know.
Let's talk about the other freak out of the night over nothing between Tevin and Kenya. Did you feel like Kenya had any basis for being upset about this?
No, this is like the biggest red flag to me in a relationship is when I understand her issue that they've hooked up in the past. Like, having a conversation is like, I don't think in any way you can get really mad at someone for doing that, especially when you're locked in a house with someone else. Like, they're eventually going to cross paths. You know, they can't avoid each other 100% of the time. They were legitimately having a conversation. They've expressed their interest in each other. And I love when this gets brought up. I feel like I haven't been too pro Tevin this whole time. I really like what he said, and I like how I know we'll get to that, but I do like how that it kind of ended out. I'm not a real big fan of Kenya's freak out. I kind of hope it was because of the alcohol, but it just kind of shows a lack of trust, and I get it. It's already the one, but I do think that's a red flag.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, they have, like, red bunting flags that are all, like, strung together. Like, yeah, no, they're a disaster of a couple. Maybe something was, like, borderline flirty with Jasmine Tevin. Absolutely nothing happened of substance. Kenya has a full meltdown, and it's just, like, they were talking for 2 seconds. Like, MTV had to keep airing the same clip of them with the kebabs because they literally probably only had, like, 3 camera angles to use during the 3 hours that Kenya was melting down.
Yeah, no, you're right, with the red bunting all over them. I think she's going back to, what was her guy's name? I'm blanking out. I tried to think of it last night, I couldn't remember.
Oh, like Raymond or Reynolds?
Yeah, the Tevin lookalike. I think she's going back to him after the show. That's my prediction.
One thing, I mentioned Johnny Langan earlier in the podcast. He tweeted to me that Kenya and Tevin as a power couple would either be Tevya or Kevin, their couple name. Are you familiar with Fiddler on the Roof?
Not enough to understand.
Okay, so in Fiddler on the Roof, the main character's name is Tevya, which is just hilarious. And Johnny would like to cast Mo as the role of the Fiddler alone on the roof.
That just makes total sense. Even though I'm not familiar, like, I could see Mo being a fiddler on the roof by himself and being sad, but cleaning up the roof after he's done playing.
There you go. All right. So speaking of Tevya or Kevin, there's this side strategy going on in the house where it seems like a no-brainer to send Tevya into the truth booth this week over Morgan and Kwasi. And Andrew seems to be leading this counterfaction that says, don't send in Tevya or Kevin. You'll never black out and you don't waste the truth booth. So the logic is, if we're so confident that they're a beam, let's leave them in the house. We'll operate as though they're a confirmed match and we will have blackout insurance the rest of the game.
First of all, it's so funny that how Andrew's the little edit he gets, even when he's in charge of like a power move. I thought that was extremely funny that, like, we still barely saw him. I actually like this move. I don't think it hurts, especially if they definitely think that they're a perfect match, and with the math they could line that up. I think it's good to have an insurance couple, because you black out, you lose decent amount of money. So I don't know. I maybe it's better to get them off and, like, focus on other couples. But on the off chance that Kwasi and Morgan are a match, like, this could really help them. I don't know. I was actually a fan of the sideways way of thinking here.
So I see it if they let you pick the other couple, like, if it hadn't been the fate button. Mm. And if you could have put in Kwasi and Kayla, or Kwasi and someone else that he's Asia, I guess he's been matched with a lot, that would help. Like, because then you can actually knock out somebody who's been at matchup ceremonies together. But if you're doing it based on this random couple, Morgan and Kwasi, who have been on dates, they don't think they're a match. I definitely don't think they're a match. I think it's a bad move because I'm not so convinced with the blackout insurance. I think they've consistently had 4 beams. I don't really think they're at risk of blacking out between now and the end of the game. I think it's kind of like too late in the season for this to be an important move. But I also think, like, I'd be more convinced by, okay, you don't need the information. Don't waste the truth booth this late in the game. Bring someone else in. But I don't think you're really getting any information from Morgan and Kwasi.
No, that makes sense. I guess if it was a couple that was kind of a little substantial or had some sort of connection, it would have made sense. And also, imagine, like, Morgan and Quasi going in and being a perfect match, how uncomfortable that, like, celebration would have been for the two of them. Like, they would, like, I'm sure Quasi seems like he'd be into it, but she seems like she has no interest in him at all.
Yeah, no, definitely not. That would have been awkward and maybe worth it. So maybe I've changed my stance. We'll see. I'm results oriented. As far as the date and just kind of going into the, we get a cliffhanger going into the next episode of Kenya and Tevin going in. So Andrew's strategy didn't work, although they did get some votes. What do you think of Kenya and Tevin? Are you thinking they're a match?
Yeah, I think they're a match. It just seems like with the Cali and Tomas and Kayla and Cam situation that Tevin and Kenya kind of by default would be a match. And I think the producers also want to, like, I think, not that they could change it, obviously, like, they have their set matches before the season, but I think it, for the edit, it makes complete sense, like, okay, like, they followed their hearts, and look where they're at now, they're a perfect match. I think that's kind of what they'd want to portray, so it all makes sense to me that they're a perfect match.
You know, they're fully a match, because we also get this moment, I actually like this moment on the date, where Tevin is sort of reflecting and saying, like, I came into this as a player, and I got a taste of my own medicine. I actually like that spin on their relationship. Like, I kind of had frustrations with them, but if the spin is like, look, I was a player, Tevin's been portrayed as this nice guy, but he's saying I was a player, and Kenya kind of played the player and won him over, I think that's, like, an interesting spin on the relationship.
Yeah, no, I playing the player, I feel like that's cool. Like, I, you know what, good for them. I'm sure it'll really pan out for them a half hour after the final matchup ceremony when they have a issue and they go separate ways forever.
So we have some tweets from the cast. I pulled some interesting, funny tweets, whatever. Before we get to that, you can subscribe at robinsowebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can also leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it, especially as we get into the end of the season here. So Callie tweeted, getting tons, and this is a shame, and the one thing I did see is Samantha went live. I didn't see the live, but I saw a clip where she said, like, don't give Callie shit. She doesn't, like, deserve it. It doesn't seem like they're friends after this. Like, it doesn't seem like they're like, oh my God, we love each other, and that was just a drunk fight. But Samantha was sort of like, you shouldn't be giving her shit. So, no, whatever.
That's respectful.
So, Callie tweeted, getting tons of messages saying how revolting and disgusting I am. I'm a whore and need medical help. I was dancing with one of my friends in the house. I was prompted to say what I said about Danny, and I am not the only person who danced with him.
Whoa. That's, I feel like that makes sense. Like, I feel like that's a pretty solid response. Like, what else are you really going to say in that situation? Like, everyone's being a jerk. I wasn't the only person who did it. I was just the only person they've shown. Like, I get it, but at the same time, like, it's gonna happen. If it is, as people are gonna talk shit about the guys for certain things, people have ridiculous double standards, and they're gonna call Callie for all these wrongful names when you're in the RD1 house. But that's, it sucks, but it's gonna happen every season.
Cam said, at the end of the day, I have nothing but love and respect for the entire RE The One Season 7 cast. You've got to have a thick skin to go on a show of this nature. Whether we were tight, fought, or never spoke, I'll always back you up.
Moe's the never spoke. That's who he's referring to.
It is crazy to me that people say this all the time, like, that you could be on a house with only, like, 22 people for whatever amount of time, like, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it is, and, like, not speak to people.
That is crazy. You would think they'd all just get to know each other, right? Like, I feel like on, like, when Big Brother's over, everyone's like, oh my God, like, even the first person out is, like, still, like, at least he feels like he got to know them, or she got to know them a bit. It's so bizarre that people don't talk, but I guess with Are You The One, like, you don't have to get to know everyone. It's not like Big Brother, you're trying to make alliances. Like, I get it to a certain extent that there would be people who don't get to know each other.
Andrew tweeted, another episode of them not showing the cute little romantic ass dates I took two girls on, shake my head, upside down smiley face emoji. Tough shit, Andrew. They're telling you weren't interesting, I guess. Yeah.
Hey, he got a little time with that power move. So, you know what? Take it, Andrew. Take your little amount of screen time.
Jasmine said, despite our differences, I had Kenya's back that night. She was drunk AF, and I carried her to the toilet and helped her throw up and fed her Pedialyte. When no one else helped her, I have feelings too, so let's not make me out to be this horrible person. Samantha tweeted, I love how they don't show me handing it to Daniel for a good 2 hours before I forgave him. And Daniel wrote, ye, okay, that never happened.
Whoa. Is that like, I'm very curious as to who's telling the truth there. That's, wow.
And then I'll let Tyler from last season have the last word here. Notable Twitter, are you the one person? I'm not a fortune teller, but Tevin and Kenya's, quote, future together probably only lasted about 24 hours after they left Hawaii.
There we go. I'm on the same boat there.
Boom roasted. All right, I think that's it for this week.
Wow, we were on for an hour. That went pretty long. I didn't expect. We had a lot to talk about, I guess.
I do think this was one of the episodes that, like, if they don't have a challenge, but they have a party, it gives us a little bit more juice. All right, I think we might have lost Adam.
No, but... there we go. I'm back. Okay. We're good. They got it happen now rather than the middle of the podcast. I just heard now we lost Adam, so I'm back. Don't worry.
Okay, great. So we'll end it there. You can subscribe, as I said before, at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me at Last Tweets, and you can follow Adam.
At Adam Bongo.
And we will be back next week. I won't be back next week. Adam will be back next week to talk about Are You the One? Week 10. And then we'll both be back to kind of wrap this up in the next 3 weeks.
Sounds good. It's crazy. It's coming to an end.
All right, so we will check in next week. Bye, everyone.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.